Well, good morning. We're in a series about chasing carrots, the endless pursuit of more. We tackled a couple topics. We've got a couple more to go. And today's probably will hit all of us, and that's the carrot of approval. I'd like to start with the questions. Today's question is this. How many of you, and I want your response, think that you might care just a little bit too much about what other people think? Put your hands up. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you aren't honest, I know. I think probably everybody here thinks a little bit too much about what other people think. And that's not a real big issue to me, but I'll confess something here in a minute. We all want people to like us, to approve of us. But the problem is sometimes seeking the approval of man and seeking the approval of God are in conflict. And so while we're approving or seeking to approve of man, we're not receiving the approval of God. I love this quote. It calls it the disease to please. The disease to please is a form of addiction, like a drug addict seeks drugs, people pleasers seek approval. And just like a drug addict, you can't get enough. No matter how many people approve of you, you want more people to approve of you. So, let me confess. I'm Alan. I'm a recovering approval addict with you this morning. Some problems with people pleasing. You obsessed about what other people think. I picked on ladies this morning. I know, ladies, what is it about hair? Ladies and hair. Maybe it's just my wife. I don't know. But, not just my wife, no. And it's just not about approval of other people, it's your approval of it. Well, my wife anyway, she's not always happy with hers. But you definitely want other people to approve of your hairstyles as well, and your outfits, and the cars you drive, and the list almost is endless, right? And we can be obsessed with that. When we post something on Facebook and I only get 3 likes, that's devastating. Or you're texting somebody and that little bubble comes up and you're waiting and nothing. So what did I do? Or, what didn't I do? So we're obsessed with what people think. We're often oversensitive to criticism. You get 10 people saying something nice to you, one person's not so nice, and what do you remember? What do you focus on? That one negative comment. You can't, it almost fall apart. You can't stand it. Somebody didn't approve of you. And then have a hard time saying no. Somebody knocks on your door selling something, you buy it. You don't need it just because you can't say no. Stacking. My wife did a study once, I think with some ladies. It's called stacking. We stack in our lives. We put more in our lives than we have time to put, and we're overcommitted. One reason is we're trying to avoid conflict. Nobody likes conflict, or hardly anybody likes conflict. So to try and avoid conflict, we just say yes to whatever it might be. The time that I'm most susceptible to this issue is on Sunday after I preach, after I do my teaching. Most people don't say anything to me, which is fine. But somebody came up to me last week with their finger like this, and I said, uh-oh. Now they said, no, it wasn't a bad thing. But that was what I was expecting, right? I said something wrong, or I didn't elaborate on something. So that's when I'm most susceptible. Now, Scripture, Proverbs, the fear of man. See, this is a fear, right, that people won't like me. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Some translations say a dangerous trap, pretty serious. And fear always disables us. So fear of or lack of approval. Now that word snare literally means a noose to catch something, an animal, or a hook for leading an animal. You know where the hook went? Who knows where to put the hook? In the nose. Put a hook in the nose of an animal, you can lead it anywhere you want, all right? That's what it's saying here. The fear of man proves to be a snare. You can be pulled around. That's the bad news. The good news is Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And why should we fear somebody that cannot have eternal consequences on our lives instead of being concerned about the one that determines our eternal destiny? On your outline, the fear of people, what people think of us, is a spiritual issue. It's just not a relational issue. It's just not a social issue. It's a spiritual issue, like all these in this series. Every one is a spiritual issue. You become obsessed with what others think about you. The problem is, it's the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you and what's more important. So we have to have a different goal. More concerned about what God thinks about us than what people think about us. But also think about this. This is an unattainable goal, right? Can you get everybody to approve of you? Can you get everybody to like you? One person ever lived was perfect, and he got everybody like him, right? Jesus. Now, in fact, by the end, nobody liked him, and they nailed him to a cross. So we've got to decide what our goal is going to be. Paul, good example to us, said in Galatians, Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? All right, there's our dilemma sometimes. Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, would I not be a servant of Christ? Now, these people knew Paul. They knew his history. They knew he'd been stoned almost to death. He'd been in shipwrecks and all these other things he had went through to share the gospel. So they knew the answer to that question. No, you're not seeking approval of people. You're seeking approval of God. Not so easy a question we ask about ourselves, is it? Do people realize or know that I'm seeking to please God as opposed to people, or vice versa? And that word servant can be translated slave. But either way, does a servant or a slave get to choose, I'll do what I want today? No. They are answerable to their master. In our Christ case, we're answerable to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, I asked a couple weeks ago if you like good news or bad news first. Most of you said bad news first, so we're going to do bad news first this morning. Two facts about the disease to please. First, it's a form of idolatry. Now, I mentioned the Jews had 613 rules, but they started with 10. We call the Ten Commandments. But who knows what the first of the Ten Commandments is? Who knows? No other gods before me, right? That's idolatry. Now, all of you think, well, I don't have one of those little statues that I worship in my house. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. What do we mean by idolatry? On your outline, it's putting something or someone above God, expecting people to meet a need that only God can meet. God said he's a jealous God. That means, I got to be number one. If you're married, you should be number one to your spouse, right? Where are your affections? Where do you spend your time? Where do you go to get answers? Or where do you go to get comfort? If it's someplace other than God, then that person or that thing is an idol. That's it's number one sin, if you will, according to Ten Commandments. Paul again. No, this is Jesus. Jesus was perfect. And he went around healing people, lame people, blind people, even dead people. So if you were around and saw Jesus do all this stuff, it would be pretty hard not to believe that he was something special, that he was possibly God. So that's really was the reaction he got from many people in his day. Even some of the religious leaders. So the text in John chapter 12 says it this way. Many people did believe in him. However, there's an issue. There was a problem. Some of the religious leaders, Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it that they believed. So many unbelieve but wouldn't admit it. I call them trying to be secret agent Christians. The Bible doesn't have secret agent Christians. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees, and this is pretty serious, would expel them from the synagogue. They couldn't go to their church. They couldn't worship. But because of fear, they didn't admit to their belief in Jesus. And then text says, for they loved human praise, some translations say, approval, more than the praise or approval of God. So it's been a dilemma in Jesus' day. It's still a dilemma today. One way to think about it is peer pressure. Do you do things you wouldn't normally do just because of peer pressure? If you go, none of us are still in high school, I don't think. But you remember when you're back in high school, you probably did do things or said things or didn't do things just because of peer pressure. Peer pressure doesn't go away just when you get out of high school, right? Maybe at work, in your workplace. You won't speak up for Jesus because you don't want people to not like you. Or you go to a party maybe you shouldn't have gone to because you want people to like you. The list is almost endless, isn't it? What do we do because we want to be liked? And everybody wants to be liked. So that's the bad news. It's a serious spiritual issue. It's idolatry. What's the good news? The approval of God sets us free from people-pleasing. You can be set free from this. You don't need to be in this dangerous trap, this snare. And the amazing thing is, we can't get everybody to like us, but we can get God's approval, which is amazing, isn't it? That Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, can approve of you and me. People-pleasing is a prison. God's approval can set us free. Reading from Paul again. For we speak as messengers approved by God. So Paul's out sharing the good news because God's approved of him and sent him to do that. To be entrusted with the good news. That's that Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, suffered and died, rose from the dead 3 days later to conquer death and sin, and because we talked about last week, he paid the price so that we could be forgiven and set free. That's the good news. So he goes on, our purpose is to what? Please who? Please God, not people. There it is, as plain as day. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Sometimes we can do both. Sometimes we have to choose. He, God alone, examines the motives of our hearts. Now, my wife was kind of doing some pushback when we were preparing this message. She helps me. And she's saying, well, aren't we supposed to be nice? And aren't we supposed to be kind? And aren't we supposed to serve people? And I said, yes. The problem is, what is the motive? Why are you and I doing it? Is so get people to like us? Or is it because of my obedience to Christ? I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to help feed people Easter dinner. Those people will never know me. They'll never know I packed that box and somebody delivered it to them. God expects our best. And that means we got to have pure motives. The motive of our heart matters, and God knows what they are. One more verse. As for human praise or approval, we've never sought it from you or anyone else. Now, the temptation is to withhold or alter or water down the gospel, because the gospel is offensive. If I'm going to preach the gospel to you, I have to say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't accept Jesus. That makes you feel good? No, that's offensive. So it's easy to, God loves everybody, and, be nice if you would believe in him. No, you got to preach the whole message. Now, Paul did adapt his message to his audience. That's what missionaries do, and that's what you and I need to do, depending on the audience. Remember the story when Paul went to Athens, and they have all these idols. They did have these statues to different gods, and then they had this one, the unknown god. They just wanted to cover all their bases in case they forgot one. And Paul comes along, hey, I'm going to talk to you about that one. In fact, he's the only true one, the one that you don't know his name. Can't water it down, but we adapt it to our audience. So again, you can't please everyone. Crazy to even think we could. But we can please God, which is even more amazing. Now, the only reason we can please God is because of what Christ has done for us. Consequently, we are forgiven and changed. What a liberating thing. I can't get all of you to like me, but I can sure get God's approval. How do you get God's approval? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's the implication then? By faith, you can please God. Get God's approval. So, on your outline, every chronic sin struggle, and we're just talking about people-pleasing, has a singular cause. Somewhere along the line, you and I believe a lie. In this case, I need to, or my worth is based on you liking me. That's a lie. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, do not be conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed by what? Who knows what it says? Come on. Renewing of your minds, right? So the question is, how do you renew your minds? So, when you read the Bible, God's word, right? It builds your faith, and that's an act of spiritual warfare. You are fighting against that lie, we would say, of Satan, right? The armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, only one offensive weapon in the armor of God. And that's the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So if we want to do spiritual battle, if we want to be on the offensive, if we want to attack, we need the sword, the Word of God. So consequently, I'm replacing the lies with truth. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is some of the I ams of Scripture, who God says you and I are. I'm going to give you a handout. It's got 30-some on it, and I've got about 10 others I'm going to add from the outline that you were handed, or it's on the screen. So, these are things God says about us. You might have an unpleasable parent, unpleasable spouse, unpleasable boss. This is what God says about us. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't feel sometimes like I'm conquering much. But in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. I can conquer anything. I am the light of the world. Light's kind of an interesting thing. You turn lights on, the darkness disappears. You can't turn darkness on to make the light disappear. So you and I are light, and we go with the gospel. We are light to the people around us. I am filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ. You ever think about that? The Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. If you're a Jesus follower, and if you're not, we're delighted that you're here or watching. If you're a Jesus follower, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are empowered. I am a joint heir with Christ. This is mind-boggling to me. I'm a child of God. Jesus is a child of God. He's a special child, but he's a child of God. And so what do? They inherit from their parents, right? So we're joint heirs with Christ. I am Christ's ambassador. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You are God's head representative of him in this world, just like an ambassador. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the only reason God can approve of us, is because we are righteous, because Christ, God sees us through Christ. I am content. We talked about that also Are you content? God says you ought to be content. And constantly we ought to be thankful. We talked about how much better off we are than most of the world. We shouldn't pursue stuff, money and stuff. Are we thankful for all that we have? And this is one of my favorites, Romans 15:3. We are filled with hope, joy, and peace. Most people in the world would pay top dollar to be able to say, I'm filled with joy, hope, joy, and peace. And God has given that to us. So on your outline, there's nothing, and we've said this many times, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he does right now. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less than he does right now. So you can come to church every day for a year, and God's not going to love you anymore. Or you could not come to church for a year, and God's not going to love you any less. Now, hopefully you come. But see, God is love. He can't be anything else but love. So it's arrogant of you and I to think that we could affect God's love by our actions or inaction, isn't it? On your outline. So God's love can liberate you and I from the need to live for the approval of others, to find our worth in that. And because you know you already have the approval of God in through Christ. The way I put it on the outline is this. God views you and I through the lens of grace. That's how he can approve us, right? Because I know I'm a mess up. I'm a sinner. So how can God see me, approve of me? I don't approve of me sometimes. Well, because he sees us through the lens of grace. We can call it the lens of sacrifice because Jesus had to die, pay the price so that I can be declared righteous. Paid my sin debt, right? So who are you? Who are you? You're not what you think others think about you. That's not who you are. You are what God says about you. Those I ams are on that sheet of paper and the I ams I went through, and there's even more. That's who you are in Christ. So we need to replace the lies with truth. Again, if you had an unpleasable parent that said, you're no good, you're not going to amount to anything, who could love you, whatever it might be, no. The first thing on that list, that handout is, you are loved. What's more important than that? You are loved. The greatest love in the universe. Consequently, those lies cannot steal our purpose or our joy. So, next step. What are you going to do with this? That's why we encourage you at the beginning of the year, read God's word daily. If you get through the whole Bible in a year, great. But read God's word daily. How are you going to transform your mind? With God's word. So begin, if you're not already doing it, a daily practice of reading and believing. You can read it, not believe it. Believe what God says about you. I came across this quote by R.C. Sproul. He said this. You can have the word of God in your mind without it being in your heart. You can intellectually know it and it not affect your life. But you cannot have the word of God in your heart unless you have it in your mind. So let's put God's word in our minds. Let me pray with you. Father God, it's hard to believe sometimes how you see us. Because we do mess up and we fail. And we don't have the faith we should have at sometimes. And we cave into peer pressure and etc. But you love us with a perfect love. You see us through the lens or eyes of grace and sacrifice. So you approve of us. We can please you just by believing. And God, I would pray for anyone who is listening that may not believe. Or maybe they believe, but they don't let anybody know. They're trying to be secret about it, secret agent. Well, it doesn't work that way. What is our passion? If my passion is to be a Jesus follower, I need to let people know. But if you've never accepted the gift of salvation, it's my privilege to offer it to you. Confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's like it's all never happened. And you are in relationship with Almighty God, not only now, but for eternity. And you're empowered now to resist sin and temptation. And God forgives us when we don't. Most of us that are here, God, are Jesus followers. We seek to serve you and serve others. I pray that our motives, our hearts are pure. We do it out of love for you, not for the desire to be liked or approved. And this is a tough one for us, God. So we pray your strength to understand and truly believe our worth doesn't come from others' approval, but only from yours. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.